Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel. Turn your mining hat light on and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello, and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Today, we're going to look at superhero superpowers. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious and everlasting God, we are so grateful for the love you have toward us and the interest that you take in us. You don't sit as a judge that we have to measure up to rules, but rather a loving Father who continues to encourage us and help us along the way. We thank you that as we look into the scriptures today, we see you more clearly. And Father God, as we gaze into that image of you, we become more like you day by day. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. As I said, today we're going to look at superheroes, superpowers. There have just been some things kind of floating through my mind day by day about how we seem, as a society, the values that we embrace as admirable and desirable actually in some ways come farther and farther away from the values and the image and the character that a Christian should possess. And so I just have been thinking about several of them. And so this might be the beginning of a series, or it may not. We all know I can be distracted. We may go another direction after this, but at least this one had been on my heart. So, superhero, superpowers. The world is obsessed with everything about superheroes, from online to movies to, you know, and you will hear children, I will say children, although it's probably there are more adults in this category than one would care to think, but anyway, who are always talking about this. And the two questions they ask them each other is, you know, if you were a superhero, what would be your superhero name? And then the other thing is, you know, if you could choose, what would be your superpowers? And so I just had kind of been thinking of that along the same line. And, of course, talking about superheroes, superpowers, we have that already, don't we? We have a superhero, and he has superpowers. And he has a superhero name, many names, as a matter of fact. So, of course, it jumped out at me that we should look at Isaiah chapter 9. Everyone knows this one by heart, I hope. It's fantastic. Of course, it's getting, so we, you know, when we draw closer to Christmas, we quote this more often, but still, a child is born, a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder. Amen for that. We don't have to have it on the shoulders of other men, do we? The government is on his shoulder. And it shall be on his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We know there are others. He's the healer of broken hearts. He is the Son of Man. He is the Son of God. There are so many names, you know, and et cetera. But I wanted to just point that out, that right there, Wonderful Counselor and Prince of Peace. I kind of want to just focus on that. He is the Prince of Peace. And turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 5, because I want to talk for just a minute about Jesus as the superhero Prince of Peace, and just talk about that, and then, but we're going to move on from that. But I wanted to at least take a moment to talk about that. In Matthew 5, it is the what we commonly call the Sermon on the Mount. And there's a lot of material in there, but I really only want to look at one verse, Matthew chapter 5, and look at the first part of 5 is the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they who mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart. None of those are things that we, like I said, we value in our society. We don't value meekness. Now, meekness does not mean to be, is not the same as timidity. Because somebody can be meek, can be poor in spirit, which does not mean financially poor. It means that same posture and merciful. These are not attributes that are held up to the world as things that are desirable, and yet these are the things that Jesus called blessed are these people. And then it comes down to verse 9, which I just want to stop at very quickly, because we're talking about him as Prince of Peace. Verse 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. I just want to point out one thing about that. We call him Prince of Peace. He said, blessed are peacemakers. Now, I want to point out that it doesn't say peacekeepers. At best, we kind of applaud ourselves when we don't add to the chaos or the turmoil or the strife. But what it takes to actually make peace, especially in a world that seems so ready to tear itself apart, and is ready to sacrifice anything above all their peace. You know, it's easy to tear down. It's harder to build up. Jesus doesn't say to be a peacekeeper. You know, the UN has a force of peacekeepers, but it's more so to be a peacemaker. And that is the title that he has. He is the Prince of Peace. But if we break this down to us, to break this down a little bit farther, peace is kind of an abstract in some ways. So I want to look at some of those qualities, or one particular quality that is an aspect of peace. And, you know, we hopefully will look at some of these others as we go along. But I just would encourage you to let the Lord speak into your heart. What qualities do we see in our superhero, Jesus, the Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Almighty God, that we should be emulating, and that the world does not hold value? Meekness, kindness, tenderheartedness, some of these things, merciful. That one just kind of grabbed my heart as we read it. Blessed are the merciful, you know. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We all want to be the people who have the answers, not the ones looking for answers. Even in ministry, we don't want to be continuing to hunger. We want to have it all together and have a, a great format and great number of followers and blah, 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 and all of this instead of continuing to seek and to hunger. But anyway, but we're not looking at that. We're looking at him as Prince of Peace. Now, if you follow in the world, the things that make for superheroes, they have superpowers. Yeah, I guess you could be a superhero without a superpower, but it doesn't seem to happen. Now, in the world of comics or movies or et cetera, you get these powers one of two ways. One is an outside force working on you. Bear with me here. We're going someplace with this. For example, a spider bite, gave Spidey his powers. Another example would be gamma rays. We have all kinds of people who develop all kinds of powers by being irradiated or being, in a cosmic shower of things but anyway, an external force enters into you, and when it enters into you, then you adopt those powers from that. And when I was thinking about that, I thought, well, that's just, his last words to us on the earth was, be filled, receive ye the Holy Ghost, be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. And at the power of the Holy Ghost is those qualities, but it also, we talk about those things, faith, miracles, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Those things are powers from the Holy Spirit, but there's more so. But the being filled to overflowing, not filled to, there in the Greek, there are two different words for receive. When he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost," there is, you can receive it subjectively. That means, the best example I can give is when we look at somebody born again. They may receive Jesus in their heart, but when they begin to walk that way, when you can see it in their lives, then that is objectively, meaning other people can see it. So there is subjective and objective. There is one of the best ways I've heard teachers express it is, receiving the Spirit, and we're filled with the Spirit, filled to capacity. That means the container, the vessel is full. When God gives you the Holy Spirit, it's a full measure. But then filled to overflowing is when remember he also said, Jesus said that you will out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. It flows out. Other people can see it. The best picture you may get is on the day of Pentecost. They were there among many people. This happened at the temple. They were there, and all of the people from all over the world were gathered, and they heard them speaking in their own languages. So what I'm saying is this, our power comes to us from an external force. The Holy Spirit fills us to capacity, fills us to overflowing. We receive it, and we have great, incredible superpowers that come from that. So that's one way you receive superpowers. Even the same with Jesus. He was among us. He was divine. But we'll go on. The other way I wanted to say that we get, besides being filled with the Holy Spirit, when you think of other superheroes, Thor was the supposed son of Odin, Hercules, who was the son of Zeus, and he was that image again was like half man, half God. But that same image, other superheroes receive it from an external force, their powers, but some received it by lineage. They were the sons of lowercase g, God. We, however, are sons of the living God. Jesus was and is the Son of God. Amen? And so there's inherently powers that come with that. Part of it is his nature is born in us. Literally, when we're born again, he's born in us. So even if you are a rough and tough rascal, you have all of a sudden a tender heart toward the things of God. You may have to work at developing it, of letting the other stuff not get in the way, but you already have a measure of love. You already have a measure of kindness. You already have a measure of mercy. We don't have to strain for those things. They're born in us when he is born in us. We are quite literally the sons and daughters of God. And I won't leave out the women. If you think when I say sons, I mean the offspring. But there were women superheroes too. We got Wonder Woman. And most of the women I know in the Lord are pretty wonderful. But anyway, these powers can come from an external force, and these powers also come because they are the sons, they were sons of deity. Jesus was both of those things. And that's great. So how does that affect us? Remember, I was talking just for this particular moment about Jesus as the Prince of Peace. And these are not qualities that seem highly valued these days. And it sometimes it worries me a little bit, but then again, I know who sits on the throne. But so what are some of the elements that work for us in that? And I would like, well, I'm going to turn to Ephesians. We'll turn to Ephesians first, just because that's one of my favoriteest places in the whole world. So the book of Ephesians, we'll look at, chapter 4, because this talks to us, instead of thinking about it as, this is what I got to do, and maybe if nothing else, your perspective will change, just think about this way. These are not things you got to do. These are things that are in you that you just have to let rule and reign. Amen? It doesn't say you have to learn how not to be anxious. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God shall rule in your hearts. We don't have to make it happen. We just have to not cooperate with it not happening. We have to get out of the way and let what's born in us come to the surface and rule and reign. Again, the Prince of Peace. But let's look at chapter 4 in that light. I'm looking only at one verse. Like I said, we couldn't cover all of these even if we wanted to. But chapter 4, this is one of my favorite little passages to put on the new man, what those powers, those superpowers look like. So much of the time we forget these are the powers that rule the world. You may think that a rock is a hard and is a powerful thing. You hurl a rock at something and you expect there to be damage, you know, the Hulk. But in reality, water, little old water, has more power than a rock. Water can wear down a rock. You know, remember when we used to play, you know, settle things by rock, paper, scissors? Well, water can wear down a rock. And so these are not things that we have to make happen. We haven't that power. So we're looking at Ephesians chapter 4. I was going to read my one little verse, but I think I'll read more. Verse 24, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness, true holiness. Again, that's what I was saying. We don't have to make this happen. It was born in us. It's there. We just have to sometimes change our bad habits, or we have to get out of the way and let that rise in us. It was created in us. Righteousness, true holiness. Those are true holiness, not just a show of holiness on how long your skirt is or what color, you know, if you don't wear makeup, those things that people used to count for holiness. Well, you can be evil in your heart and have the most scrubbed face and the long black skirt, and that doesn't make it true holiness. Anyway, but here's what we are to do to let that superpower out. Put away lying. Instead, we speak truth with our neighbor. Honesty is not valued much anymore, for we are members of one another. If you be angry, sin not. Doesn't say anger is wrong. It's what we do with it. Anger is a motivator. Jesus got angry. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. He doesn't say, you just have to let these things happen. Verse 25, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. We were born to work. We love it, this kind of work, the work of God. Even Jesus, 12 years old, said, didn't you know I'd have to be about my Father's business? Working with his hands the thing which is good. Why? That he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Oopsie. And corrupt emoticons as well. but that which is good to the use of edifying. I've decided there are times I will edify those around me that I like. But when somebody is just a rascal and hard to get along with, and I said, that's not what it says. It says, edify one another. And so sometimes I concentrate on the person that I don't really feel like edifying, but I edify him because that's my superpower, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Grace is another important quality in it. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, where you sealed redemption. Here we go. Let, don't make, you can't clean your heart up. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Once you do that, look what rises up. These are incredible superpowers. Be kind one to another. Tenderhearted. Oh my. We kind of enjoy being tough. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's the one I wanted to get to. I read all of those but because I just love that passage. But I want to talk about forgiveness. There is no peace without forgiveness. And so as children of the peace, the Prince of Peace, we need to learn to let forgiveness rule in us. That is hard. When people have done you wrong and there's no good motivation other than they're selfish or they think they put one over on you, harder still is when it's done to somebody you love. We will try and exact justice for those we love before we will for ourselves. But I want to talk to us about, very briefly here, about that superpower of forgiveness. If I started going through the scriptures and going through every time, one of the things I'm thinking about is Tamar, my gal, Tamar. Her father-in-law, and that she had basically used witchcraft to kill his two first sons, then let her go home in disgrace and not give her the third one. She had plenty she could have been angry about, didn't she? She had plenty that she could have been unforgiving about, justifiably. But God used her. Instead of just getting vengeance on him because, and it was Judah, she married two of Judah's sons, two of his three sons, and they both died for their own wickedness. The scripture is very plain, it's because of their own wickedness they died. But the father, maybe in his grief, maybe because he was blinded, he was forgetting whom he serves, he basically blamed her. God used her as an instrument through some various, I'll say, shenanigans that we won't go into now. She became pregnant by Judah. And when she did, she became pregnant with twins. And those twins now came back to Judah as sons. He had unfairly and evilly accused her basically of murdering his two sons. And then God used her as an instrument to give him back two sons. I would have said, man, I'm going to lop off both your ears for talking that way. But God used her as an instrument, literally, not just of peace, but of forgiveness. You can't do that. You cannot have peace if you don't have forgiveness in your heart. Amen? Forgiveness is hard. It's hard work. It's tough, because the reason we need to forgive many times is because people deserve not to be forgiven. They've earned our anger or our wrath or our disappointment or whatever it may be. And we have to let forgiveness. So I want to show you one thing about forgiveness, and then we can move on maybe and see if I can get these in any kind of order. Let's look at the difference. We talked about a superpower. This is not, the Bible is full of not just examples, but direct contact, direct instruction on forgiveness. But let's turn, if we will, right now to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, this is where I want to be. Matthew 9. This, again, we talk about it as a superpower. Matthew 9, verse 6. Okay, well, we'll back up. This is when he had healed somebody, and he had told the man with palsy, he said, "Son, be of good cheer." This is verse 2. "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And, of course, the scribes got themselves all in a dither over it. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, there's another superpower. "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts?" Well, whether is it easier to say, "Thy sons be forgiven," or "Arise and walk"? Verse 6, this is what he said of himself, "But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." We don't often think of it as a power, but we can relieve other people from burdens. If we just forgive them, we have released them from carrying that burden of sin around. And in the process, we have lightened our own load. Amen? It's really a beautiful quality. So I want us now to look at, this is the Lord's Prayer. I wanted to show something about this power of forgiveness. So flip back a chapter or two, Matthew chapter 6. And again, I cannot cover all of these, nor can I even cover all of the scriptures there that pertain to that. You can find in Mark, you can find in Luke, places where it says Jesus testifies of himself, "I have the power to forgive." And he was, I can't say he was proud of it, but that, he was asserting that. He was affirming that. I don't hear that, even if people in ministry, "Oh, you got to go to so-so's meeting. They have the power to heal," or, "Oh, they have the power for miracles." I don't hear, "Oh, you got to go down to the altar because that pastor, if he prays for you, the power to forgive." I think that'd be a great one. Anyway, in the Lord's Prayer, watch what it says. This is how Jesus taught us to pray. "After this manner, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." That's the first foremost thing. We've got to at least survive. But the very next important thing is, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And you will see this image, you will see this precept up all the way until the day of Pentecost, when we were zapped with the power of the Holy Ghost. But we forgive, we are forgiven as we forgive. Well, that doesn't work too well, because I had a hard time forgiving. Now, compare it with what I read to you out of Ephesians. In Matthew, Jesus said, "You are forgiven as you forgive." But in Ephesians, it says, "Forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." In before the superpower filled us, we were only forgiven at the measure and at the rate that we forgave, which is pretty pitiful. But now we can forgive. That power's there. We have the power to forgive. Why? Because we have been forgiven. Before, we were only forgiven as we forgave. But now, because we have been forgiven, we have the power to forgive. I don't know about you, but that just really excites me. I don't have to work to develop a power of forgiveness. All I have to do is remember that God has forgiven me in Christ. That was done when I didn't even understand forgiveness. I just knew I needed God. And when that happened, I now have the power to forgive. Amen? That's a pretty awesome thing. There are so many places where you will see that same thing. Let me see if I kind of may have marked that. But I think you get it. It's not like I need to dwell on it. See, these are not real complex, complicated theological points. It's just that we forget the simple stuff because we have itching ears sometimes. Okay, in Matthew chapter 18, 21 says, this is good because it does tie in. Peter says to him, Lord, how often do I have to forgive? Do I have to even forgive up to 7 times? And then, of course, Jesus' reply, as we all know, that Jesus said to him, bro, you got to forgive 70 times 7. And that, again, is that thing of spiritual perfection. 7 is a spiritually perfect number. It's the number of spiritual perfection. Peter was like, man, do I actually have to do this perfectly? And Jesus said, perfectly, perfectly. It is totally spiritual. It's not something that we can do in our own right. I want us to look at one or two more things very quickly. Like I said, you get into your concordance and you dig through these things. Look up some of these scriptures. Meditate on them, because we have been given a superpower, but we neglect it. We think there are things I'd rather be invisible. Ooh, I'd rather be able to, you know, drive demons out. There's no better way to drive demons out than by forgiveness. The power of forgiveness and what it has wrought in our lives is unbelievable. Okay, so in Corinthians, although I'm in the wrong one, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Sorry, I'm flipping around here. I had most of them marked. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to look at the verses 7 through... Oops. Oh, yeah. No, I was in the wrong chapter. 7 through 11. But contrawise, ye ought rather to... Okay, let me back up here to 5. But if any have caused grief, and he has not grieved me, but in part I would charge you... Sufficient to each man is the punishment which was inflicted of many. It's like, man, you don't have to make sure they get it. Man, there's enough. We don't know what burden is on each soul in each heart. Verse 7, but that contrawise, ye ought rather to forgive and to comfort, lest perhaps such an one should be swallowed up overmuch with sorrow. Sometimes our anger, our grief, our hurt is so much we can't forgive what's been done to us. Yet we forget even that person who's done something horribly wicked to us is a soul, is a human soul for whom Christ died. And if it's a brother in Christ, we don't know how much that burden of guilt, that burden of suffering of sin, they may never show it. But it may be to the point that they can be swallowed up by that. And I think to myself, the worst person who's done the worst thing to me, could I stand by and watch them be swallowed up into hell? Absolutely not. And we never know where anybody is. So we need to develop that superpower of forgiveness that can snatch somebody back from grief, snatch somebody back from depression, snatch somebody back from backsliding. And, you know, I don't mean that the way most people think, but when we let go of our faith, when we become just, you know, spiritually thrown in the meat grinder, that power is in us to prevent a soul suffering. Comfort, it says, that you rather forgive and comfort, not just forgive, but comfort. Well, I'll forgive you, but I don't want to see you again. You know, this power is in us. Amen. God means us for us to use it. That these things that have been born in us, we don't have to work at them. When the Holy Spirit has filled us, the Holy Spirit is love, is forgiveness, is mercy, is kindness, is all those things, is long suffering. Oh, I remember once in the Amplified, Corinthians 13 starts out that love, the love of God, is both patient and kind. And I'm like, Lord, I can be patient or I can be kind, but I can't be both at the same time. I can be kind for a short period or I can be patient as long as I'm allowed to grumble. We are no different. We are no better than the saints that came before. In the Old Testament, we hear about, you know, Israel grumbling and da-da-da-da-da-da and all those things and giving up all the time and blaming God all the time. We are no better except for what has been born in us. And that came from the power of the Son of God, of God being our Father and the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, that it's ever fresh, a fountain flowing out of us. And one of those things that we know that we have in us, there's so many things, but the world doesn't value them. You don't read somewhere, thank God I don't do Facebook, so if any of you want to talk to me, don't expect to get me on Facebook. Call me, send me a text, send me an email, but I won't Facebook things. Because we begin to put on a show, oh, I want to talk about it. It's because I want to see people. There's no FaceTime in Facebook. Anyway, but there, of all the qualities that, oh, she's so pretty, or oh, he's so funny, or oh, boy, he's so good at business. Even inside the church, oh, so-and-so is so charismatic. Oh, so-and-so has built such a big church, or whatever, all the various things that we say. I'm trying to think the last time I said about somebody, oh, they're so forgiving. Oh, they're so merciful. Oh, they're so patient. You know why? Because most of the time, those are never even seen. They are truly, you know, if you want a superpower, the superpower of invisibility. Those qualities are invisible. People don't know when you forgive them. You don't have to walk up and say, I forgive you. That's pretty arrogant. I forgive you. But if you walk in forgiveness toward them, it affects them spiritually. If you walk in mercy, most of the time people don't know. A lot of us want to, well, I will let it go as long as they know I let it go. And that's, you know, we say, oh, I forgive you, waiting for the other person to say, and I forgive you. And if they don't say it, it's like, oh, then I've lost the high ground, you know. But these qualities are not just qualities that, well, that's how Jesus was, so we should be like that. They were his power. Yes, he was knowledgeable. Yes, he could heal. But the core of healing is forgiveness. Jesus taught us that, and we forget it. He said, which is greater, to say, rise up and walk, or thy sins be forgiven? He said it's the same. So if you covet the power, say, of healing or power equal to healing, covet forgiveness. It's down in you. There are some others, and I hope that maybe we'll do a series and look at some of these qualities. This isn't the shout from the rooftop, ooh, wasn't that a great insight? But I want you to see these are the things that matter. They affect our life day by day. And that we are in such a tremendous spot. Before the church was formed, before Jesus was crucified, ascended, and sent to us a comforter. Get that, not an accuser, not a judge. The Holy Spirit is a comforter. We don't need another judge. The world judges us enough. We need an advocate, which we have in heaven. Amen? We need kindness. You know, there's very few times have I gone to God truly repentant, and I feel like, well, you got what you deserve because you shouldn't have done that to begin with. I feel that flood of forgiveness. What a beautiful gift that is. And I have the power to bless somebody else with that. They may never know it. When Jesus died at Calvary, I didn't know it. Well, I wasn't even born. But even the first few years of the earth that I walked around, I was unaware of it. Yet, that power of love, that power of forgiveness was still working on my life. And when I get sidetracked or distracted, it's still working in my life. It works better when I don't even know it's there. So a lot of these superpowers that we have, among them is the power of invisibility. You just forgive. You just love. You just be kind. And you keep moving because God has initiated us into a very special group of superheroes. We get to stand alongside the greatest, the most wonderful counselor, Prince of Peace, Almighty God, healer of broken hearts. My prayer for you today is that we let the power that's in us loose on the world. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we repent for all the times that we have missed the mark and know that we have already been forgiven in Christ. Therefore, give us the grace to forgive those people who don't even know they need forgiveness as we didn't. Not because we want to be forgiven that we forgive, but because we rejoice in the fact that we have been. Father God, as we walk this week, let your grace shine through us in ways that surprise us and bless us, that we may truly know how much you've loved us. And now that you have left us here on this earth to be a blessing to others. Thank you for all of this in Jesus' name. Have a super week, literally, and I look forward to being with you again next week. God bless.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Myth, Get 'Em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Enjoy the entire family of Get 'Em Radio broadcasts by calling 619-639-4733. That's 619-639-4733. Now, mark your calendar and set your cell phone alarms. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with Elder Philip Harkey is on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Thursday edition of God in the Myth airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 619-639-4733. When you have an opportunity, Google Get 'Em Radio. That's GITM Radio. And listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'Em Radio's on-demand archives. As you listen to our archives, click the follow button and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at getemradio@gmail.com or call us at 903-776-4486. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Mist, M-I-D-S-T, and like us because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him